As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
AKA Toothless.
Ah, yeah. Bad news.
I gotta take a picture of you.
Yeah, sure. I'm gonna let you publish that.
Hey, what are you missing? Is that an eye tooth or a canine?
No, it's my front incisor.
It's next
to my front incisor.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
she has a fake one, a spare. She says she lisps with it, so I get to look at her toothless face.
You don't have to look.
Actually, I can't because I can't see it.
Say,
the pop shield's in the way.
The shield's in the way.
Thank goodness.
I should just walk around with the pop shield for me. It really feels like a huge hole. Well, you have spinach or chives in your teeth right now. So
oh, really?
You're talking about me.
Oh, I made a really nice sound right then into the microphone. Yeah.
She's sucking her chives out of her teeth.
Okay. Well, it's me.
Now that you all have a mental picture of what we look like today.
Me and my toothless podcast co-host, okay? Today we're going to talk about how ZD's, or our, fabric library developed over time. We are in our studio, you know, we record in our sewing studio, and I'm going to sort of go around the room. I might even leave the microphone for just a minute and like point at things and be like, where'd you get this? and we'll talk about.
And like, I'm supposed to remember everything.
Well, okay. And talk about why you got it. Maybe where you got it, you know, what happened for you to get it.
What phase of sewing I happen to be in at the time.
You know, and like why you're keeping it or what it's come back up and been useful for, right?
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm coming from here because I think that this comes up a lot in the group, you know, how much fabric does everyone have and how much do you keep or do you only buy for projects?
And most people don't have like 500 square feet in their home dedicated to a studio.
Sure.
Right.
So we thought we'd just dig into how this fabric library came to exist, and we thought you all might find it interesting. So let's start off. I'm
with the bolts in the corner.
Yeah, the bolts in the corner. So things have been moved around a lot, you know, as the shop has been moved to our home, to our studio, but quite a few of those bolts over there, and I'm talking like long rolls of fabric.
She's not talking a flat bolt. She's talking a round bolt.
Round bolt.
Right.
They
5 foot high.
Range from, I would say, like 45 to 60 inches in width of fabric. And there's a lot of dot sequin over there. And when I say a lot, I mean a bolt that it's like the thickness of my hand. There has to be like 30 yards of pink dot sequin right there.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah. What? Why? Why do you
and
have
the blue
that?
Is gone, right?
Oh, the blue is gone.
I know
is
I
that
used
right?
I think I used the blue up.
And there's green and there's gold.
At one time, there was gold, green, pink, and blue.
Yes. Bolts of dot sequin.
Bolts of dot sequin.
Why?
Double bolt. Two bolts of each, I believe.
Why
were.
Why did you have
Well,
those?
It started out as a show choir costume. I can't even remember which costume it started out as.
Right.
Because that number got nixed.
Oh.
Okay. So I had whatever it was, like 300 or 400 yards of dot sequin.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember it at all. I can remember it getting nicked. What I remember is what I remember most about it was how am I going to store this?
Yeah.
Because dot sequins are plastic sequins that are glued on this, you know, Lurex mesh.
Mesh, yeah.
Right? And I thought, can't store it where it gets too hot.
Because those sequins will fall off. Or the sequins fall off.
And I was pretty sure that, you know, well, and now what you have to know is I ordered this wholesale, or I bought this wholesale. There used to be a wholesale. There used to be a supplier in Kansas City, and I used to drive up there. And I would just shop their warehouse, generally, for shows, you know, and then pack my car up full of bolts of fabric and come back. So you had to buy it by the bolt, and you could not take it back.
Right, right.
So yeah. I had these 8 bolts of dot sequin. And so I had to store them, and I had to decide. So I actually, they were in my own personal bedroom closet for a year.
Because to be temperature controlled.
Because I wanted them I was worried about them not being temperature controlled and thinking I would use them again. And I did use them the next year.
Well, let's talk about this dot sequin. Mm-hmm. This is like a legacy here.
I'm trying to think. So this is Lindsay's sophomore or junior year?
Well, I know I have the gold dress and I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, that was well after this because Lindsay was a senior by that gold dress. So I had already
made. Oh, is that right?
Well, what I wound up making, mm-hmm. using it for the next year was Sam, You Made the Pants Too Long.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody knows that song, but you made the coat and dress fit the best. You made the lining nice and strong, but Sam, you made the pants too long.
There you go. Good job, Dee.
Anyway, you can look it up on the internet.
Alexa will play it for you. I tried the other day.
Did she?
I played it for Jerome. So, yeah. So that dot sequin, though, has been used. You kept it around. Are you glad you kept it around?
You know, I needed to make long pants.
That's right.
So that year, it wound up actually going over the dresses I had made the year before. It worked out really well. We stuffed the dresses down in these long, like, what I made was, like, oversized overall pants.
Uh-huh.
They had big sequin suspenders, and they were too long, and they drug on the ground.
Right.
So I used quite a bit of it then, and I used 3 colors.
Yes.
You know, I used the pink and the green and the blue that year.
Yeah.
And do you know, Lindsay got the solo in that.
Probably because her mom made the costume.
Well, no, that came first, actually. But she had the solo, and we went to Disney World, so she was center stage at Disney World with those pants on. Yeah, and the girls love the pants. They just absolutely, so it was an all girls group too.
Right.
So actually it had to be Lindsay's sophomore year then.
So this dot sequin has served so many more purposes.
Right.
And actually I made you a bag for your B12.
You did. For my B12.
We know.
Syringes and vials.
So I'm supposed to give mom her B12 shot every month. And I won't go into detail about what happened the other day because I know that some people get squeamish about that. But every time I'd go to give it to you, you'd be like, well, I got the syringes here and the B12 here.
Right.
So for 1 year for Christmas, I used Annie Soft and Stable and the dot sequin, and I made you this just huge
bag. And it's bright
bag.
Fuchsia pink. It's like really,
dot sequin. And I was like, well, you can put everything in here. And you were like, this is really big. And I was like, I know.
We'll find it.
Yes,
it
was definitely too big for all the materials needed.
But anyway, that dot sequin has served us well because it went on to, I made the gold into another costume like the next year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and obviously we still have some left over. Lindsay graduated high school in 2001.
Right.
So that dot sequin is 20 years old.
Yeah.
And we've stored it well.
Yes, we have. And it's still going strong.
I mean,
we still use things out of it. So
let's
move over to a different part.
Well, we could do a whole thing on dot sequin, I swear.
We did. We've done a podcast on
dot sequin.
Oh,
we did. You're right. We did. And how to sew it and everything. It's very interesting.
I was thinking we could do a whole podcast episode on this corner.
You know what's funny? I'm looking around and we have sequins in almost every corner of this place.
Okay.
It depends on what kind, but we've got them.
Let's talk about your little collection over here.
The black and white
Tell
collection.
Us about that portion of the fabric library, that section.
That's my black and white collection.
Uh-huh.
I like black and white. I like beige and black or taupe and black sort of, but it's mostly black and white. And it actually, if it's a black and white stripe, it gets to go there instead of the stripe collection. Yes.
So how many, like, talk about
how
the
many
dimension.
Do you think I have?
Talk about how, because I think some people might be like, there's a little drawer of black
okay.
and white fabric.
So it is 1, 2, 3. It's, is it, I guess it's like 3 shelves on a, that are 4 inches.
4 feet.
Four feet wide. And like a, about a cube, because the bottom of it has some other stuff in it. So it's a rack, a metal rack, and all of the fabric is sushied up, and we've talked about how we sushi our fabric, which means that I have folded it and rolled it, and so it's like, it's in these rolls that are approximately 12 to 14 inches long, right, so that uh-huh. I can shove them in there and see the end of the roll.
Right.
And then I tie them or... usually with a knit or a piece of scrap fabric.
And
or
the
something.
Pieces of fabric in there, we know, range from, they could be as small as maybe a yard or half a yard.
I don't think, oh no.
Nothing's
there's nothing
that small.
That's a half yard in there. I think everything's at least 3 yards in there or more.
Up to, we know that that one piece of fabric we got out was 10 yards.
Yeah, now we got out a 10 yard piece that I had bought.
If you're a Zigzag member, if you remember the live broadcast we did in the button-up month.
It had a gray and a black stripe and a little lurex, a
we
little
did,
metallic.
We did mini piping on yeah. button-ups or how to insert right. it into seams. And I got this fabric out because, like, oh, it's a stripe. And then I was like, this is my realization as I go through this fabric. This is cool. This is a black and white and metallic silver stripe, like a pinstripe.
It has gray in it too, doesn't
kind
it?
Of gray,
whatever.
A little bit.
Whatever.
Oh, I think that's on like this where the silver
oh,
is.
Oh, is that where the silver is?
Gee, this is neat, a neat pattern. And Sam and I are unrolling it. We're like, this is a stretch woven. It stretches on the cross grain. How cool. No, this has like spandex in it.
Right.
Okay. And then we're unrolling it and we're like, there's 10 yards of this because it was like 30.
The ticket was on it.
Yeah, the ticket was on it. You paid $3 a yard and you paid like.
I actually think I got it at a big box store that starts with a W. Yes.
Yeah, so you got so much of this fabric that it could be made into, I know, made into a shirt dress with some pieces on the bias.
That's right.
Is what I was really excited about doing with it. But yeah, that fabric is, it's like the coolest stuff.
Yeah.
It's so neat.
So when you find cool fabric for $3, I bought
10 yards
yeah,
of it.
I bought $30 worth of it. So,
but it's not all stripes, I guess. It's black and white. So
no,
there's like
no,
some
it's
florals,
not all stripes.
There's
there
polka dots.
Is, there, I use a lot of black and white stripe, or I tended to at one time. I like to use it to, I would often, if I made something like a purse or a bag, I would often use it for the strapping or the piping or something like that to, it would stop the eye.
Right.
So I'd have something very colorful and then the black and white would stop the eye.
So sometimes people ask, oh, do you organize your fabric by type or by color or by this or by size?
I yes.
It, yeah, right. You know from like your work,
right.
your
right.
your work, what I want to say.
It's
like,
sort of organized by how I've used
how
it
you
or
use
worked.
It. Yeah,
right,
yeah. You're
right.
You're like, oh, I'm always just, I want to know where the black and white fabric is,
right.
whether it is silk or poly
right.
or stretch
right.
woven or this
right.
or that. You just want to know where the black and white
right.
stuff is.
And there's some, you know, there's that big Home Deck black and white there, and actually there's some over here. You know, the bolts kind of got mixed up
yeah,
when we moved. They aren't as organized as
the
they
way
used
that
to
we.
Be.
I think we're gonna rearrange again.
Right.
Our filming space. We're gonna be able to move it hopefully
right.
into a different room.
This will be part of the fabric library where we're sitting right now.
Yes. So let's talk about your Home Deck section.
It's there.
Yes, it's next to the black and white stripe.
Some of it's on bolts. Some of it is not. Some of it is samples from my favorite furniture store where they used to call me up and say, hey, you want these samples? And we used to get, you know, the swatches from them.
Okay. If you know of a furniture store in your area and you make friends with them.
Or a decorator.
A decorator. They may agree to give you their swatch books.
So what happens is every year they rotate those and, you know, most of them wind up in a dumpster.
Okay. You need to be careful what you wish for. When you are the
yeah.
receptacle, the recipient
right.
for these fabrics, because
right.
we got a couple stores and a couple customers who would bring us these swatch books, and we had shelves and
right.
shelves, and we would go through them, cut them up, and so what have those swatch books been ended up as? purses. Well,
purses, bags. Reed bags were some of them,
Some of them. Guide class kits.
When Linda and Jane taught the guide class, they made those little pin cushion kits, and they would use those for those.
No, talk about reusing, you know, and upcycling or whatever.
Actually, I think I used part of them when I made Catherine's vest for being the rabbit in...
I use them to make stockings, patchwork stockings.
Yep, we use that, purses.
Because you might get a swatch of some fabric that's like a silk
woven
or like a digitally printed something.
Or just something that you really, just something that's really clever. Pillows, we made a lot of, or pillow backs.
Uh-huh.
Made a lot of just the pillow back where I made something else or I had embroidery on the front or something like that. So they wound up being the back.
Right.
That was the dog beds.
Dog beds.
Always dog beds.
Lots of dog beds.
Good dog beds.
So a ton of, so home deck, and we like to use home deck. Actually, I think this would be a fun, like article in the zine or something. We really like to use like the chenille, the drapey chenille home deck as blankets.
As
like we,
throws.
Yeah, what we call throws out of them.
We make, I like a throw to be like 6 feet long. And then, like, the 45 or 53 wide, whatever the width is, and then I make it, like, 6 feet long.
And then you put cotton on the back, and then right?
But usually it's a cotton for home deck, too. It's a lot of a chintz. And I don't put anything in the middle.
Right.
And I really like that weight because I like the cotton up against me, and I like the weightiness of it.
I have a throw like that downstairs that I made I mean, it must have been,
now, we pre-wash this stuff, and then so it can go in the washer,
too. Yeah, you put it in the washer and dryer. Yeah, right. So that's, like, one of our favorite blankets to make.
Right.
Instead of, you know, we don't like to quilt. You know,
right.
We don't want to, like, piece together stuff, but sometimes you can get really cool home deck fabric.
And for some reason, I just don't like those fleece throws.
Really?
Anyway.
Yeah, don't say.
Yeah, I don't make a fleece throw.
Well, we skipped over the silk. Let's talk about the silk real quick.
Oh, yeah, the silk, because the reason we skipped over the silk is because it's in cubes, like wire cubes, but it is covered by a white cover sheet, right? I don't think it's a sheet.
No, sure, but...
But it, because we want it to get air.
Uh-huh.
But we don't want it to get light or moisture.
That's right.
And so it's covered, and it says silk in a big sign on it so that we don't forget where it is, but we did skip
it. Look, Sam spelled silk wrong. No.
She didn't. Oh.
I just wanted to make her look over here.
We did have somebody work for us one time, and we were labeling things at the shop.
This is funny.
And we had a bunch of Dupioni silk at the time because what were we making out of that? I don't know. We had
Why did we carry that? We carried
Dupioni because we had a lot of silk projects. We were making a lot of purses, I know, at that time. But anyway, she was not fabric savvy. And so she printed out the sign off the computer, and it said Pupioni.
Silk Pupioni.
So we had silk Pupioni.
And then we thought we'd gotten it, like, no, and then, okay, so we kept the sign.
Right.
We told her about it. We're like, this is hilarious. It says Pupioni on it, you know, and we thought it was so funny, so we hung it in the back, and then we had somebody new start working for us. And they saw the sign in the back.
Right.
And they brought it out to the front and put it on the silk at one point. Because I think she had said, like, what's this stuff? I was like, oh, that's silk Dupioni. And mm-hmm. she just, like, took it upon herself to, like, take that sign.
And put it on
the back
there.
And put it on there. And so it just got to be funny all over again. But, yeah.
I think we still have the sign someplace.
Silk Pupioni. I think we do, too.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's take a little break. And let's get into some of the things that we store in tubs after the break. Okay. Taking a break.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tea looks so good on you.
You know, I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes, you know, mishearing things. It happens.
No, you're
the
one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay. So I am currently wearing an easy tee, and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric, and you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the easy tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on sohere.com. To purchase the class, go to sohere.com/easytee. That's just E-A-S-Y-T.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's Easy Tee is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to sohere.com/easytee to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're back.
Oh, yes, we are.
All right.
In our sea of fabric.
Our sea of fabric. Okay, I'm gonna go away from the microphone, and I'm going to look at some tubs and, like, hold them
okay.
up.
Okay, and have to some of those tubs are not permanent tubs. They became tubs because we moved.
That's right.
Right.
So I just want to point to some tubs, and you need to be like, oh, this says this, and talk about them a little bit. Okay, so
it's like a test.
Give me a moment. Tubs that aren't labeled.
Well, I know that bottom tub is silk, but that we brought from the shop.
Oh, yeah.
That never has not gotten incorporated into the silk. Now, what we actually call, like, the shelving we have is we call it our stacks, just like in a library.
Yeah.
We say, you know, go to the silk stack, go to the knit stack or whatever. Those are tubs. That one tub right there is satin back crepe or crepe back satin, depending on how you were taught to call it, right?
Yeah.
And it just so happened that I was using a lot of that at one time when I was doing couture gowns for people. And I started working out of that tub. And it stayed there.
So it's a poly product.
Yes.
And when it's in the tub, it does fine.
Yes. Now, I go around and I'll open these tubs and let them breathe occasionally.
Right.
Kind of bothers me that, you know.
So what have we used the crepe back satin back crepe for recently?
Kimonos. That's what we did the trim on the kimonos with.
Absolutely.
And how much yardage do you think we got in there?
Oh, there's got to be 50.
I would say easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the rolls, it's like, it's always really fun to go around in the studio. And so you're looking in the satin bin.
Right.
And you're like, okay. Oh, I love that purple color. And then it's like, are you going to take it out? And there's going to be like 3 yards or there's going to be like 10 yards,
right,
you know, which
right,
is it going to be?
Right.
And then we sort of, you know, this doesn't.
And sometimes there's scraps rolled up within it.
That's
so you
right.
don't know that you're getting these scrappy pieces.
So when people talk about organizing their fabric, you know, using like Trello or something like that and knowing exactly how much yardage there is, you know, for us, like the way our fabric library has developed, I don't think that really works because sometimes I'll get it out and be like, okay, well, this isn't enough satin for the body of the kimono.
Right.
So it's going to be the trim and I will choose a different for this and a da da da.
Well, I think if you remember,
this
like,
is a pocket.
For Sam's kimono, for her and Nora, we actually got out three different ones and, you know, we were looking at the color first and then we had to decide, was there enough?
Right.
To do, you know, the two kimonos.
Yes.
Well, and I think the other thing is when someone talks about those programs or that,
mm-hmm.
if we inventoried our fabric now, and say it was just the two of us doing it.
Right.
Well, we'd have to put a year aside just to inventory the fabric.
It wouldn't be worth it to
we,
us.
We couldn't get anything else done.
Right, right.
I mean, and I guess the other thing is all that inventory would do for me is tell me, like, that I had it or where it was. And the way we have this organized, I know where to go to look to see where it is.
You know,
okay.
If I'm going to make this type of garment, I need to go to this area
yes.
of the library
and
so check it out.
And so you can say, I have red, you know, satin back crepe or crepe back satin, right? You know, how do you describe what color red it is?
Right.
And how do you know that red?
I mean, and even if you take a picture.
I
think
so. So, you know, I always lay it out. But we are organized enough. We know where to go.
Right.
And where to pull it from.
Now, I think that if you are using Trello and it's working for you or you're using a spreadsheet,
right.
like, keep doing it, you know. But if you feel like.
And if you can keep up with it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, keeping up with it is another thing.
But if you feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like that stuff doesn't work for me, that's okay too. There
right.
are different ways to do it. So
some people cut swatches.
Yeah. Yeah. And put them in a book.
And put them in a book or whatever, or, you know. Some sort of organization where they have them in behind plastic or
uh-huh.
whatever, however they do it. Now, there are some fabrics rolled up in here, and on them there might be a tag that says pre-wash 3 yards.
Yeah.
There's a few things like that.
Right.
Not many, but a few. and I used to do that, mm-hmm. or I used to know that if it had a serged edge, it had been pre-washed. You know, that was sort of my code for it's been pre-washed. Mallory just pulled out a bin that has my striped fabric, my fancy striped fabric, because my fancy striped fabric is in a bin right now, and it's an open bin. It's not closed up, but it is things that are metallic or shiny, that sort of striped fabric. I have other striped fabric that is cotton. Sort of quilting cotton type striped fabric, and that is in a drawer.
Okay, and then what about this bin?
That is the vinyl bin, and it's clear vinyl, and some of it is shower curtains because we couldn't find any vinyl at the time, or it's clear vinyl, and we use vinyl for lots of things, to line bags or to make clear bags or to make windows on something. What else have we used vinyl for?
I think about bags a lot with the vinyl.
Right,
I don't know.
I think of clear pockets and stuff like that too.
On bags.
Well, I think the other thing that we can mention is we actually, because vinyl made me think about this, we have some vinyl pockets and that were originally used when I had a bridal store.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we used to label the customer's name and put it on their dress. And then we eventually used those in the sewing machine business. And that's how we labeled people's
machines,
you know. And we put them on there with a chenille strip and tied it on, so to speak. And now we have our shelves labeled like that. You know, so the vinyl sign says home deck, or the vinyl sign says knit, or, you know, always stretch or whatever.
Oh, and I also,
or shears, or
mom didn't mention this when I put this tub on the table.
I didn't. The other sequin tub.
Yeah, there's more sequins.
I said there's sequins in every corner of this
place.
Yeah,
so there's
that's not counting, like, This is sequin yardage. I mean, we're not even talking about like the sequins that are on a strip or sequin trim.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
I ain't talking about that.
So we have the sequin yardage that isn't on a bolt. So it's in smaller pieces.
They're also in that sequin. It's not just dot sequin. It's all kinds of sequin.
Yes, and there's that stretch sequin that we bought to make a ballroom dress for me.
Yes,
and then I ended up making my maternity fancy outfit.
There's all kinds. There's sequin left over from other people's dresses and all kinds of sequins. I guess I don't throw any sequin fabric away.
Well, why would you? Right? Yes. Right.
Well, there's a couple of bolts of sequin over there too by the home deck.
And then on the other side of the studio,
in the true stacks where kind of, it's just shelves.
Where it's just purely fabric. The fabric isn't sort of like.
So the shelves are about, 7 feet high? They're almost to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And there's 4 to 5 shelves on each one, and they're about, I think they are 4 feet wide and 15 inches deep or 14 inches deep.
No, they're wider than 4 feet. I thought they look like...
No, I think they're
4 feet? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these are like industrial shelves that you can get at like a
big,
you know,
chrome industrial shelf. You put them together yourself. You'll see them in a commercial kitchen a lot of times.
Right, and they're on wheels.
Right.
So we can move them if we wanted
to. Over and over and over and over again.
Now, there's a flannel section.
There is a flannel section.
A baby flannel section.
Well, are all flannel, but it's mostly baby flannel.
Yeah.
And I used to make a lot of baby items and a lot of baby blankets. You remember when... We used to make a lot of those as gifts, too.
Yes, I do.
And I would do one side of the blanket would be flannel, and the other side oftentimes would be satin.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times it had a black and white striped
bias binding
that was,
that's right.
So you had that black and white stripe on the 45-degree angle, and it went, and then we had the baby's name in the corner, or sometimes the birth date, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever was available to us, or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was always
a hit. So that's high on a shelf, and there is a couple bolts of flannel, and some other flannel, and some scraps of flannel. Also up there, for some reason... Because below it is more like quilting cottons, I would say, or just general straight cottons, so to speak. We have, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 10 flat bolts of fabric up there that started out as 15-yard
put-ups.
And I know that there happens to be some on the floor over there in a box, plastic box. Yeah.
Yeah, and over there we've got wools as well. There's on the other side.
Wool has one good shelf. Yeah.
And we have our stretch knits over there.
We do.
Now, we can't see these right now, so I'm going to run over there real quick.
Uh-oh, she's running over to identify.
I'm just going to pull over a couple of them. I'm just going to show them to Mom, and you can tell me where they came from, okay?
Oh, I can tell you what section and how it's labeled.
When I bought it.
Oh my gosh. You think I should identify like time and place? Oh, well, that came from Stevens College, didn't it?
Yep.
You got that.
Yep, talk about that.
Yep. What would you call that? It is a brocade, polyester, white and silver brocade.
Yes. Lots of things.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to pull something out. What I'm looking at right now is actually our tool section that I can see from this side. And we have all colors of tool and everything. Okay, Mallory has holding up lace with some metallic in it. I don't know what that white one is. I can't see it well enough.
It's stretch netting with sequins on it.
Oh, stretch netting. So all of those things were from costuming, dance costuming, I believe. That was... Actually, a dress I made for myself to go to someone's wedding that Mallory also wore to homecoming. And, you know, that was, it's a metallic polyester with a metallic in it. It's a mauve-y color with a gold metallic in it. And that was actually home deck, Mallory.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. We have boas. Why did I have red and blue boa, or red and purple? What is that?
I don't know.
What would I have had those for? I don't remember. That had to be a show choir thing.
Yeah.
And then this is a knit, I believe, from Vogue. And it is a velvet knit with a gold lurex going through it.
Yeah, the lurex.
There should be 3 yards of that because I've never cut into it.
Yeah, so the over there is kind of where we go for our garment fabric. I think, like, in the stacks a lot of times, you know, over on that side of the studio, it's kind of where we go to hunt.
Well, most of our stuff is garment, I would say.
But but that's also where most, like, the usable stuff, what do I want to say, like, by usable?
It's what we use. It's what we go to, right.
I guess I don't always, like, run to the silk.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple pieces of mud cloth up there that actually, if everybody knows what that is, it's an African type fabric, and Wynn gave those to me.
Yeah, and so we've got lace over there as well.
Right,
there's a bunch
lace yardage,
sheer lace.
And lace. Actually, on a bottom shelf over there is a lot of home deck trim, which is lots of fringe and stuff and cording, and
all sorts of things over there. So yeah, those are the stacks, and then we have some knits over yonder that have not been, like, categorized.
I've been
yet.
Recategorizing them, actually.
Okay, so tell us
about your... I separated out the knits. At one time, all the knits were together.
Uh-huh.
And now I've separated out knits to, a two-way stretch and a four-way stretch knit. So,
yes.
Because when you go, you really need... That is a significant difference when you go to make a garment.
Right, you need to know if it
At
stretches
At one time,
always.
I had Lycra in its own section.
Right.
Because I didn't have that much Lycra. Now I've got Lycra coming out of my ears.
Yeah, now we have a ton. So your fabric library might evolve over time,
Or the space that you use for a particular category changes. You know, I don't collect dot sequin quite as often.
Right,
currently.
Yeah.
There's a section with fur in it that's over here by the silks. That's left over from costuming.
Well, and there's a bunch of, like, lace and sheer fabrics.
Uh-huh. And I do have sheers.
I feel like that is a lot of costuming as well.
Yes.
It's not a lot of stuff that we use in our everyday
sewing. Right. And I used to use that every day because I costumed every day.
Well, and actually, it's really...
And I did a lot of special occasion work.
Right. Yeah. It's actually, lace is so hot right now. I should just, like, sew up some
Go
of that
it again.
Stuff.
Right.
You know, it's cool to use.
Absolutely.
Outerwear and everything like that. So, yeah,
And then there's a section over there with the stuff that we sell.
Yes. Some of the fabric we sell or used
but
to sell.
The cotton organdy and the...
There's no cotton organdy over there
The mesh. It's where the cotton organdy belongs.
Where it would be.
Right. The mesh. And there's some few...
I know Rachel's listening.
There's some denim left over.
Yeah. A little bit of denim for personal use and some things like that. So, yeah. There's a ton of fabric here. And I just want everybody to know that we sort of organize it in terms of
usage
yes. more than really any other
I knew someone
qualifier.
That worked for Martha Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And their studio, their fabric library, was organized by color. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, if they have all the same type of fabric.
I don't, but can you believe it was all the same? Well, yeah, if I had all quilting cotton, I would do it. But do you think Martha Stewart had just cotton?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think she makes clothes.
If you're a quilter, if I had a quilting section.
Yes.
Yes, I'd have it by color.
Right, right.
But if I have all these different, I wouldn't put like a sheer red with the poly whatever red with a stretch red with a.
That wouldn't serve our purposes.
Yeah, I would just be confusing.
Well,
What would bother me is I would think, oh, I probably have a stretch red and it wouldn't be.
That kind of, I think, goes with a big, what do I want to say, concept that we have tried to drive home over and over again on this podcast is that the character of the pattern and the way the pattern is drafted
is for a certain
highly
type of
dependent on the type of fabric. So we're kind of going for fabric character.
Right.
I mean, I know you do have that.
Well,
I think
the other thing that
stripes.
We also try and drive home to people is do what works for you.
Right.
Okay. Organization. When someone says, I need to organize my fabric, not everyone's fabric needs to be organized the same way.
Right.
Especially like... when you say when we say organize it by usage, maybe that's sort of the best way to coin it. Because if you're a quilter, you may be organizing one way. If you're a garment sewer, you may be organizing another. If you sew for other people, you may be organizing it another way.
Mm-hmm.
If you make costumes, I used to have all the costuming fabric in one section.
Right.
Which meant most of the crappy fabric. Or,
right.
or fabric that maybe I bought thinking this would work for costumes.
Right.
You know, and I had it in that section. I wasn't planning on making myself a garment out of the costume fabric.
Right. So organize, I think if people are, you know, or if you have a big quilting stash, the thing about quilting fabric is it is mostly the same or very similar substrate, right?
I mean, we're talking about people that are quilting with cotton.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who do art quilts.
Sure.
They're not worried about the fabric content.
I'm not talking about that.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, if you do want to organize your quilting area by color, I think that makes sense. But yeah, just think about how you're using fabrics. Or, you know, we have an area that's like linings.
Yep.
As
well. We have all the linings in one place. We do have an interfacing area.
Yes.
You know, and then we have a stabilizing area.
Yep.
And then we have thread areas, and we have different thread areas. We have...
Well, yeah, we won't talk about that. Yeah. That's a different podcast.
Right. Okay.
We won't talk
about that.
But I think you're right. Our threads are arranged by usage.
Yes.
It's not like all the purple serger in construction and stretch.
Right, not
and
all the purple threads are together.
No.
They're very much organized like our fabric.
By
how
utility.
We use them. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, we will try to snap a bunch of pics of the fabric library and put them up in the show notes for you at sewhere.com. You can get a hold of us via email at mallory@sewhere.com. We are at ZD Sewing Studio on Instagram. And Mom?
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.